This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Russell Wilson is doing a Zoom introducing himself as a New York Giant. In just a couple of minutes, you'll take a listen to some of the things Russ had to say. Let's ride. I don't know if
Let's
he,
ride.
I don't know if he said that yet.
That's the only thing I care about is how does he end it?
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
I've seen on social media a potential catchphrase already from Russell Wilson.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold off on it. Mm-hmm. We will take a listen to that. But right now, a little after 5 o'clock, it is Cinco time. Cinco de Five. Let's celebrate the fun. Tune into
WFAN and get ready to rock. Every Tiki show. I mean, this is I thought I deleted that. All right, Cinco de Five-O is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. All right, Evan just mentioned it. Russell Wilson is meeting the media as we speak. My Cinco de Five-O today is the top five potential headlines we could see from the 2025 Giants. All right?
All right.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Wilson, from Castaway to the streets of Philadelphia. A little Tom Hanks reference there. Russell Wilson leads Giants past the Eagles in Philly with a 3-touchdown performance. What do you think of that?
Wow.
It's dangerously good.
That better not be the catchphrase. Right, here
waiting,
we go.
I was waiting for that.
Number four.
All right, number four, the top five potential headlines we could see from the 2025 Giants. Lord, please deliver Giant fans from Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston throws for 700 yards and 5 touchdowns, 3 to the other team, in a 48-42 loss to the Vikings at MetLife Stadium. So you get the full Jameis Winston experience, and Lord, please deliver us from Jameis Winston.
I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
We all
number
are,
three.
All right, number three is the San Francisco beat. Giants leave their heart in San Francisco as Aaron Rodgers leads the 49ers past Russell Wilson and the Giants. 21-10. That's number three. So Aaron Rodgers would be a member of the San Francisco 49ers.
Rodgers' fantasy to San Francisco will never go away, will it?
I think he's still holding out hope for them.
Maybe.
Purdy's still not signed long term. All right, here we go.
Number two.
Funny how Giants roll the dice with Tommy DeVito, and it pays off in a 50-0 win over the Raiders in Las Vegas.
Come on, clown, I amuse you.
Yes, that'll be week 16.
I'm surprised that wasn't number one.
Well, this is why.
Number one.
Number one on the top five potential headlines we could see from the 2025 Giants. Acknowledge him. Deion Sanders next in line to become the head coach of the table in a bloodline angle with his sons Shador and Shiloh on the Giants.
You ain't make me, so you can't break me.
Fair or not, it's a very good Cinco. Cinco to five every day, close to 5 o'clock. Whether
it's
you like it or not, that is the one negative that comes with Shador Sanders, and it's not his own fault, and it's not even his father's fault. There will naturally be an irrational or sort of rational belief that if things go bad with Brian Daboll, they'll just hire Deion Sanders.
Yes.
And it's not really anybody's fault. Like, I don't think Deion's campaigning for it. Shador's not going to campaign for it, but the father of a quarterback prospect is a really good college coach.
Yeah.
Like, he's just natural.
And so he becomes the option you're going to talk about, even if it's not a reality.
Yeah.
And even if Deion says he doesn't want to coach in the NFL, which he basically did. He said he's building something in Colorado, wants to be in Colorado. But the best laid plans, as we all know, sometimes change. And so if Dave's and Shane are out and Deion Sanders has an opportunity, he's not going to say, no, I'm not interested at all.
No, he'll have a conversation.
Absolutely he will, and he should.
Yeah. I mean, I think eventually he's going to coach in the NFL. I'm not sure when, not sure with which team. Naturally, Dallas seems to be the perfect fit, but I think Deion is going to eventually make the jump. I mean, he was a former great NFL player. He's doing a wonderful job in college, but I think eventually you have that itch to do it at the top level. Even think of some of the great college coaches. May not work at the NFL, but they try. Nick Saban tried.
Mm-hmm.
He tried. Rick Pitino tried. Had success with the Knicks, not as much the second time around. Coach Cal tried. I'm not going to comment on that any further, but he tried. Anyhow, Russell Wilson is meeting the media. What are our biggest takeaways so far?
All right, so the first clip we're going to hear from here is about Russell Wilson expecting to be the starting quarterback of the Giants. Listen closely.
Okay.
We may have the Russell Wilson catchphrase in this clip. All right, here is Russell Wilson.
Do you expect to be the starter, or you have to compete for that? Like, how do you view that?
Yeah, I expect to be the starter and come in here and be ready to rock and roll every day. I think to get a lead, I think this team's really looking for somebody to lead them in every way in terms of the process, in the offseason, during the season. Our habits and our thought process and how we create a great winning culture, and how do we continue to establish that and to really build on the things that we do well and the things that we continue to need to do. And so I think the big part for me is this might be my 14th year to be able to lead an amazing group of men that really have, big hopes and goals and dreams and desires. And we all share the same goal. And so I think that's the best part about it is, I get to be around a lot of, extremely talented guys.
Wait, so what was it?
The slogan?
Let's rock and roll.
Let's rock and roll.
Rock and roll every day.
Rock and roll every day.
Oh, God, no.
Why did he slip that in? Ready to rock and roll every day? That's going to be the slogan.
Does he realize it's not Cleveland? Like, he didn't sign with the Browns? I mean, it's not rock and roll every day.
We went to the Jersey Hall of Fame, which Tiki, of course, is in. There are a lot of rock stars in there. Jersey's known for their rock stars. Bruce,
that's
so maybe
true.
He's getting into the rock and roll feel here.
Yeah,
that better not be the catchphrase.
No, I think
Bon Jovi.
I think he thought he was going to Cleveland and was like, Cleveland Rock.
Wait, I'm in New York? This isn't the Browns?
That answer, by the way, see, there are two very different things, and I'm not sure if a reporter went specific here, but the question and the way I'd phrase it with Russell Wilson is, did the Giants promise you that you're going to be the starting quarterback? Because, of course, he should expect to be the starting quarterback. He's a competitor.
Yeah, he didn't answer the question the way that I think the reporter wanted, because he didn't ask it the right way. He said, I'm going to be the starter, basically.
Right.
Or I'm expecting to be the starter, or whatever he said. But it wasn't, is this a competition?
Right.
That's really what we want to know.
Is this a competition? And when you signed, what did they tell you?
Yeah.
Like, this bothered me about Clay Holmes for a while. It was actually Sal. I give him credit who asked him when Clay was on with Joe and Sal at Amazing Day.
Yeah.
All I wanted someone to ask Clay Holmes was, have you been promised that you're a starter? Like, is there a scenario where you could move to the bullpen? And Clay was asked it and finally gave an answer, which is, no, I wasn't promised anything. Like, they could move him to the bullpen.
Yeah.
So in the case of Russ, it would be, what did they tell you? Did they promise you a job?
Okay, so I don't have the audio for this one, but this is from Ryan Dunleavy on Twitter. Asked about mentoring a rookie quarterback with the Giants, Russell Wilson said, quote, you always handle yourself first. Not exactly.
That was his answer?
Yeah. That's the quote there.
I'm going to give him. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say I cannot judge that till I hear it.
Yep. Because then he went on in the tweet to say, from there he said, everyone follows suit and grows with you and learns your habits. So he's saying you lead by example.
Yeah. Right? That's what I think he's saying.
Okay. So we have audio on this one. This is about Russell Wilson being in New York and bringing winning back to the Giants. Here we go.
You know, coming here, obviously being in New York, it's an exciting place to play. It's a place that wants to win. It's a place that knows how to win and has won before. And so for me, it's bringing everything I know, all the experiences, all the touchdowns, all the wins, but also all the love and passion for the game to this locker room. And that's what I'm really excited for. And it's going to be a special, special thing. And we got to go work for it every day and go do it.
Does that fire you guys up?
Yeah, I guess so.
No, it doesn't.
Exactly.
You can't say yes, I guess so.
The words mean, what he's saying means the right things. That's what I want to say.
But does he, let me ask it this way. If you're in that room, because I know he also talked about some of his new teammates and all that kind of crap.
Yeah, the league neighbors, Andrew Thomas, Cotton.
If you're in that room, and this is your quarterback, I mean, you're Tiki Barber, right? You're a running back, you're a big part of the team. This is your quarterback, and you're listening to this press conference. Your response would be?
We had this situation when Kerry Collins came to the New York Giants, and there was a prejudice or prejudging that was very easy to throw his way because of his experiences in Carolina. And they weren't great at all. And what Ernie, of course, he told us, because I guess Ernie had gotten to know him a little bit in the recruitment process, because you all remember the Giants bid against themselves to get Kerry Collins. And so Ernie told us, don't think about or even consider what you think you know about him. Just meet him and get to know him for who he is now.
That's right attitude.
And so we did. And we all love Kerry. And he was amazing. Took us to a Super Bowl, still a friend. And so if I'm in the Giants organization or a player, that's exactly how you have to approach Russ. You can't let any of the nonsense that's surrounding him, including the Mr. Unlimited stuff, follow him there.
Right.
You have to leave that at the door.
Got
to
give him a clean slate.
And judge him for how he is with you. Now, we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
Because if what you think you know about him starts to show itself, then you're just going to fall back into what everybody said about him.
Absolutely.
So it's a tough situation. It really is.
No, definitely. Let's hear more from Russell Wilson.
Okay, before we hear that clip, Russell Wilson said he talked to John Mara when he visited the Giants, and again, he spoke to Mr. Mara yesterday. Now, we speculated whether Russell Wilson will be at opening day in the Bronx tomorrow. Russell Wilson let us in on what he's going to be doing.
Well, hold on. How about what he's doing tonight? If you tell me he's going to Nets Raptors, he's got problems. Like, if he's going, I'm going. But if he's going...
Wait, what? You are?
I'm taking my wife, yeah.
Maybe so is Ross. Maybe you, Ciara and Ross, and you and your wife can do a double date at the Barclays Center.
And I'm sitting in fancy seats, so you never know.
Hapless Nets.
Let's hear... Well, let's hope they're hapless tonight, if you know what I mean. Let's hear what Russ is doing tonight.
He used to always say simple wins. You know, sometimes it's the little things that you do well. You know, if I use basketball terms, you know, I get to go to the Knicks game tonight. I'm excited to go watch them play. But at the end of the day, you got to make your free throws and layups. And I think the same thing in football.
Damn
he used to always say simple wins. You know?
I forgot the Knicks are playing tonight. Yeah.
So Russell Wilson, I don't know if Ciara is going to be there, but he will be at Madison Square Garden, the real basketball in this town.
No, Knicks. As he should be. Knicks Clippers versus Nets Raptors. Right. Like, what are we doing? I totally forgot they were home. What kind of reaction is he getting?
I do not know.
He'll get a great reaction.
Are you sure about that?
Yes. Mm. Well, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Hey, guys. Russell here.
I don't know, man. I truly don't.
I don't. I'm with Tiki.
Look, I don't boo people, so I would cheer them. Hey, glad you're here, type of thing. But I don't know. I truly don't know.
I think I'm with you. Your response of the I don't know. I lean towards you. If I had to guess, I think he's going to get booed.
I think it's the perfect night for Russell Wilson to be at the Garden. Number one, we know where the Knicks are at right now. They're coasting to the playoffs. We're talking about opening day eve. Everybody's in a good mood. Yankees are back. Mets are back.
No, but Tommy,
people aren't looking to boo tonight.
Tommy.
But this isn't the expectation that people had for the Giants starting quarterback.
Exactly.
That's the problem. So it's not even really about him. It's just about the situation that the Giant fan finds himself in right now.
Yeah, it's where I think you're off about this. So remember when Aaron Rodgers went to a Knicks game? And he got a rousing ovation, which I was surprised about.
Evan and I were at the game.
Yeah, we were there. And I didn't think he'd get cheered because I'm like, most people are Giant fans.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like Aaron Rodgers. He's going to get booed. But I think overall people were just excited about it. They heard about it for a while. They gave him a cheer. I think the difference is, A, there's not optimism about the Giants.
Right.
Like, I could tell you I agree with what Joe Shane is doing, but most Giant fans, if you listen to this radio station, are not happy about their place. That's number one. Number two, fair or not, Russell Wilson is not a beloved player in this league.
No.
He's been ridiculed and he's been mocked.
And he's been in four different places now in the last 5 years.
Yes.
So it's a lot of moving around.
A lot of moving around. He's not like, I just think it's going to be a lukewarm, mildish reaction. I'd be very surprised if it's a rousing standing ovation the way Rodgers got.
Yeah.
I don't think the
prevailing thought is he's coming in as a conquering hero. And I think that's maybe how he views himself.
Right.
But I don't know if that's how the fans are, because the fans won't buy that until they actually see him do it.
Yeah.
So a year from now, if he wins 10 games, 11 games, and gets to the postseason, and he goes to a Knicks game, people will love him.
I'll tell you this.
But you got to earn it in this city.
It is an absolute lock now that he will be at Yankee Stadium tomorrow.
No doubt
now, because he's going to do the full New York experience. He's going to go to the Garden, which he should be, to see Knicks Clippers. Not a bad little game, by the way. Tomorrow afternoon, he played for the Yankees once.
Yeah.
He's technically on their, you know, something roster, because he played for them in 2018, pinch hitting for Aaron Judge.
Reserve roster or something like that.
He's not only going to be at Yankee Stadium tomorrow, he's taking batting practice at Yankee Stadium tomorrow.
I agree with that. He's going to be taking BP. By the way, Russell Wilson, if you don't want to get booed, I think you got to bring Ciara to the game. Like, so David
Is
Lee,
she even here? I don't know.
She lives here with him, doesn't she?
I don't know if they moved here.
Maybe not. Yet. If she's around, Ross, bring her to the game.
Well, David Lee. They have kids. Somebody's got to watch the kids, right?
I mean, don't rich people have babysitters that watch the kids? They have like nannies that watch the kids. David Lee always gets a really big reaction. Now, obviously, good Nick, but the reason he gets such a reaction, because everybody knows him, because he's married to Caroline Wozniacki. And everybody knows David Lee almost now as the husband of our. So Russell Wilson's the least famous person in the couple. Bring your famous wife. You're going to get a great reaction. You're not going to boo her.
I confirmed this because I remembered it, but I wanted to confirm it. He was at a net game, a Brooklyn net game, like 8 years ago, and she was there.
Yeah.
Like, he's done this before. So, yeah, I think that's the way to go, but I still think he's going to get booed. I don't think it's going to save him.
Well, we're going to find out, because they always post when the celebrities are there on social media. So we'll hear the reaction, much like Strahan a week or so ago.
Speaking of celebrities, I have to address this, because this is now bothering me. So when you watch Knicks games, like I watched last night's Knicks game, usually like third quarter on MSG, they're going to show the celebrities. They do their little courtside celebrity stuff. And I'm watching this last night, and Matt Harvey was up there. And I've seen this a lot. Oh, Matt Harvey's here at the game. Blah, 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 blah. Tiki?
Yeah.
You're a much bigger star than Matt Harvey. Like, if you want to sit courtside at Madison Square Garden, and not just sit courtside, but get the treatment, it's a lock. So I know you're not comfortable doing it, but don't you have to make a phone call and say, what is this crap?
I'd rather sit in the suite. I'm being honest.
I get you. I think I just want to see it that one time. Well, but I'm watching the celebrities.
I don't necessarily enjoy being, like, plastered in the spotlight.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I can do it and be perfectly confident and comfortable in a spotlight, but I don't seek it out.
Yeah, you know what you got to do, though?
I'm a homebody, dude.
I know you are, and you're not that kind of guy. I think you got to do it for Tommy. I think that you call up the Knicks, courtside tickets, Tommy sits next to you, because it'll make his life. Like, this is not about me. This is all Tommy. You take Tommy to the game, they'll put Tiki on the board, you'll get a big ovation. I mean, I'm a Met fan, bro. I'm not a Giant fan.
Mm-hmm.
Tiki Barber versus Matt Harvey? Like, what are we doing?
No doubt.
I mean, come on. The guy was great for like 5 minutes. I mean, I don't even want to make this a John Franco thing, because I could do Tiki versus Franco. I'm not touching that. I love John Franco.
Well, he goes there a lot.
He goes there a lot.
Yeah.
But Matt Harvey?
So he's a regular.
Matt, we're giving Matt Harvey the courtside star treatment? You got him in. Come on. Stop. So I think you should do it. But I think you should do it for Tommy.
Absolutely. Do it for Tommy.
And then I can claim that the ovation was in reality for me.
You know, generational talent at WFA.
Yeah. Tommy!
By the way, we've been waiting for it. We have the Russell Wilson sign-off. The first sign-off
here. Oh, I can't wait.
Here we go. Give me one second.
So I'm excited to be a part of all that.
Thanks, Russ. You're all set.
Okay. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it. So
there you go. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. That's going to be the catchphrase.
That's it?
That's the catchphrase.
That was it?
There was no sign-off?
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No, that's disappointing.
That means he doesn't.
Dangerously good.
That means he doesn't have one yet.
But that's a bad job. We talked about how excited he is. He's already changed his Twitter profile. He's going to the Knicks game. He's going to the Yankee game in all likelihood. He's already done his press conference, which feels like a record. I mean, he just signed last night. He's already
couldn't wait. That was the thing.
You got to come with material.
Yeah.
I
think he's still thinking about it, but you know what we need to do?
Make one up for him?
Yeah. We got to deliver him one that isn't overly pathetic. We got to save Russ from Russ. So let's think about that. Put that in our noggin.
By the way, Ciara is in the building. She's at Giants camp with Russ right now. I'm watching a video of it. So I don't think he's going to ditch her.
Speaking of which, you talk about Russell Wilson's wife.
Let's go to
Ed in Malvern. Ed, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
So just to confirm, and Kiki, and by the way, Willie Randolph's child has the same name as Ciara, but it's an Irish name. The name is spelled C-I-A-R-A. It's my wife's name, and it's pronounced Kira. And I'm going to have to sit there and listen to this for the next 3 years. This woman pronouncing the name wrong. It drives me absolutely
crazy. So who are you mad at?
You were in Ireland last year. You probably saw a ton of Kiras all over the place.
Kira? That's not how she says it.
It's an old Irish name.
Yes, but she doesn't pronounce it as she doesn't pronounce it as Irish though, right?
I'm looking at
like the same Irish name.
I know absolutely it is, but she's not Irish.
I'm looking at the pronunciation key. It's Sierra, Sierra.
No, she's not a soft drink.
By the way, that's not her real name, is it?
I gotta look that up.
By the way, this guy's one of these Sade people back in the day. Sade.
But I think you're both wrong. Like, I don't think you're pronouncing it right, but I also don't think he's pronouncing it right.
I'm pronouncing it. My official pronunciation is Ciara.
By the way, her real name is Ciara, and it's pronounced Sierra. Sierra Princess Wilson is her name. Harris. So her middle name is Princess, which is pretty badass.
Who the hell were her parents?
I'd have to look that up.
Mr. and Mrs. Wilson. Sorry.
No, not Wilson.
That's correct. That's Russell's last name.
Ciara Princess Harris was born in Fort Hood, Texas on October 25th, 1985. The only child of, and I'll give you the names, Jackie and Carlton Harris. She's an Army brat. She grew up in Georgia, New York, Utah, California, Arizona, and Nevada. She was named after the Revlon fragrance Ciara, which was introduced in 1973. Mm. So how about that?
Ciara Princess.
Cool name.
Interesting.
I believe that Ciara is a chubby chaser. And I believe if we both weren't married, she would have considered going home with me.
Okay, man. Do we need to address this now that she's in town?
Sean is back, we are going to have to address that.
That is audio of Sean Morash, and it is true. We will address it upon his return. But he has claimed that Ciara was throwing herself at him. And that in a different universe, because Sean is happily married, and Ciara was happily married, that his belief is that she wanted him.
Yeah, actually,
I believe that Ciara is a chubby chaser.
It's a universe where Tommy DeVito is the next Tom Brady. That's actually the universe, because that's more likely to happen than that.
La La Land.
I heard they had a real interaction, and that you were there, Teak.
I know, but I don't remember the interactions.
The New York Mets are playing a game that counts for the first time since kind of the just sad ending of 2024 when they lost listlessly. In Game 6 to the Los Angeles Dodgers on that evening. So baseball is back in less than 24 hours, and at 5:45, we will give you our very specific predictions on the Mets and the Yankees seasons. But before that, let's get to some of your calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Artie in Brooklyn. How are you, Artie?
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. So listen, I know Tiki doesn't want your door at 3, right? I guess it's too high of a pick for him. He wants, like, more of a short, thin guy. But I'm asking you, Ev, at 7.
Yes.
Do you take Shador?
I would. Mm-hmm. I would. If Shador Sanders dropped the 7, I would take him. Do you agree as a fellow Jet fan?
I do not, because I think that Justin Fields is Shador.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't think they're very similar at all. I mean, honestly.
Well,
but
all right. Hang on a second.
But, yeah. No, my
can
attitude.
Can I just make a quick
Yeah, yeah, go ahead, go ahead. I'll respond
okay.
after. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Adam, but he's a first pick. Fields is a first-round pick. Played for Ohio State, mm-hmm. won games.
Yeah.
He's more of a runner than a thrower.
Yes.
He's a great leader. What is unsimilar? His accuracy?
Oh, no, I think the plays they can make with their legs are very different. Like, Justin Fields, and this is probably the thing he's going to need to change, actually, if he's going to be a franchise quarterback, is I think he's more of a runner than he is a passer.
Well, no, I don't think he needs to change that. I think he needs to just develop into also being a passer.
Become an all-around player.
All-around player.
Which, like, he's not right now.
Because Lamar Jackson is still a very accomplished runner. He rushed for 900 yards a season ago, but he also threw for 4,000 yards. Mm-hmm. So if Justin Fields can not even be a 4,000-yard passer, just be more like Jalen Hurts, right?
Oh, then we're cooking.
Throw for 2,800, 3,100 yards a year. Don't put the ball in harm's way and rush for 800 to 1,000 yards a season.
Shador's not.
You're a star.
Absolutely. Shador's not that.
He can't run like that.
He can't run like that. But the reason I would take him is because this is a lottery ticket with Justin Fields.
Right.
And if he could turn into what you described, you hit on the lottery ticket and it's fantastic. And then Jets don't need a quarterback. But the odds are still higher that they're going to have to find their future quarterback eventually anyway.
Agreed.
So if you have someone drop to you at 7 again, you don't have to play him right away. It would be a real competition, honestly. Like, if Shador Sanders outplays Justin Fields in training camp, then Shador's the guy. But if he doesn't, he could sit a year.
Yeah.
And
should be the plan.
Absolutely. And it could turn in to the Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy situation, where McCarthy sat, didn't play. Now, injury is the reason. I know that's different. Mm-hmm. But Sam had a great year. And then they have to make a decision.
Yeah.
I want the Jets to have to make a decision because that means you're in a good spot, a good decision. Like, wow, Fields had a great year. I got him back for another year. Should I trade him with his value high? Should I trade Shador since he didn't play? Because I really believe in Justin Fields. If Shador drops to 7, I would jump. I think the more complicated one is Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
If he's there at 7, do the Jets jump or do they say, look, Tyler Warren's a great fit, all-around tight end, going to help blocking, going to make plays? Like, I don't know. I think it makes it more complicated. But the Jets are still kind of looking for a franchise quarterback
because
we don't know if Justin Fields is that guy.
Right. He hasn't proven it, even though he's still very young. He has every opportunity to grow into that, but this is now his third team.
Yes.
Like, it's just the reality of it.
Yeah, this is, look, I'm IFOing this thing right now. As a mm-hmm. fanboy, like, when I sit there and watch the draft, am I going to root for you guys to pass on him so Shador falls to me? Yes, I will. But I also don't think that's going to happen. I think you guys are drafting Shador Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
I just do. I don't think he's going to drop to the Jets at 7. And I think the other worry the Jets may have is, would a team like New Orleans jump ahead of the Jets to make sure they drafted a falling Shador Sanders?
Maybe. Maybe, because New Orleans doesn't really have a future plan either.
Yep. Let's go to Ozzie and Woodridge. Oz.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Oh, it's good, Ozzie.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. Let me preface my comments by saying I consider myself an honorable member of the Lou Gower Army.
Okay.
Right. Like
Uncle Ozzie or maybe even like stepbrothers,
right.
The way he and I act, you know, something.
But okay.
I'm very staunch in that army. Support him very much. Very proud of him. Very proud.
All right.
But I knew as soon as Lugi got the Russell Wilson news live on his show yesterday and he started snapping at callers, I knew he was upset about it right away because that means he can't live vicariously through DeVito anymore just because they share a first name and he gets to hear, like, Tommy, out an athletic field for once because he's not an athlete whatsoever. Because once they bring in Wilson, if they draft the QB, the DeVito dream is gone.
Yeah.
And there goes all his freaking hopes.
Yeah. No, I get it. Is there any truth to that, Tommy, that this Russell Wilson thing is just a reminder that your Tommy DeVito dream is dead?
Mm. No. As I said earlier.
Like a doornail?
No.
Dead.
No. Tommy DeVito, I've been told, is interning with the Giants. You can't fire an intern. So he's going to learn under the tutelage of Russell Wilson, under the tutelage of Jameis Winston, and blossom into what I believe he will be.
If they draft a quarterback, which I think they will, Tommy DeVito is going to be gone.
No,
Like, they're not carrying four quarterbacks on their roster. He's gone.
He'll be on the practice squad.
And Tommy! But then anybody could take him. And if he's so good, wouldn't another team take him?
I think, much like Pete Alonso,
yeah,
Tommy DeVito only really works with the Giants. Does that make sense? Like, his value to this franchise, this fan base, only works here. Much like Pete Alonso with the Mets. You like that?
No.
What do you mean, no?
Pete Alonso might have to find out how to work someplace else.
Pete Alonso.
I can't catch a practice squad quarterback. You can't even give me that?
Pete Alonso can hit 40 home runs in another city. Tommy DeVito's just going to suck in another city.
Yeah, but can he sell a pizza pie while doing an autograph signing with Dinky's daughters and Snooki?
He's hanging on because it's not over yet. And we made this clear earlier. He even understands it. The day Tommy DeVito is no longer with the Giants, the day he's going to have to wear an L. Because he did proclaim Tommy DeVito as the next Tom Brady.
I did.
Now, speaking of W's and L's, as we sit here on the eve of opening day at 5:45, we are set to make our predictions. Now, yesterday, we made our World Series predictions. Mm-hmm. You may have heard that right here on the program. If you didn't, you'll hear about it on November 1st when we replay those predictions and see how we did. Today, it's about the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. So what I am asking all of us to do is win total. And then how the season ends. So, like, for example, Sean Morash was on earlier at a family thing to take care of today. He said the Yankees will win 85 games and miss the playoffs. That's his prediction. So, Tinky Barber, I'll start with you.
Yep.
And we'll start with the Yankees. Now, yesterday you did reveal that you have them going to the World Series.
Yep.
So we know that part of it. How about the win total for the New York Yankees?
92 and 70.
American League pennant.
Yes.
Okay. It's Tiki Barber on the Yankees. Tiki Barber on the Mets.
I'm going to go this hard.
I gave you days to think about.
86 and 76.
86 and 76. Yeah. Playoffs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wild card.
Wild card.
Last wild card.
Last wild card. And then what? How does it end? Obviously, we don't get to the World Series.
Divisional round knockout.
Okay. Losing the divisional round. All right. 86 wins, third wild card, losing the divisional series. Tommy Lugauer, let's start with your New York Mets.
You want me to start with the Mets
first?
Would
you rather start with the Yankees?
I would like to start with the Yankees.
Okay, start with the Yankees.
The Yankees will win 90 games.
90?
They will lose in the World Series.
Again?
Again.
You see, you're too much.
Why?
Because I know what you're doing.
What do you mean?
Just go ahead.
90 wins for the Yankees, they will lose in the World Series.
Like drunks.
Yeah, I mean, they play in the junior varsity, so they will stroll through the American League playoffs. As for the Mets will win 100 and I'm going to go 20, 120.
Stop it, bro. Come on.
There'll be 5 forfeits.
Loogie!
Sweep the Subway Series, which will be the Yankees World Series this year because they're a little brother. And then they will finish my story, winning the World Series, this time, though, in the Bronx.
Generational talent.
And I'll have my day.
That's it. 120 wins?
Did I say 120? Yeah. I meant 125. There were 5 forfeits in there. I don't know how that will count. It'll be unprecedented.
Who's forfeiting, by the
Yankees
way?
Will forfeit a couple of those Subway Series games.
Tommy!
You really want to go with this as your official prediction?
Yeah.
The Met Yankee part is fine, I guess. 120 wins?
Mm. Yeah.
Come on.
So what's that, 42 losses?
That is correct. Good math by you.
I mean, they have Juan Soto now.
So the Mets are going to break the all-time record for wins.
Oh, that's an all-time record?
Yeah.
I hate that guy. All right.
They're going to break the all-time record, and they're going to win the World Series. So unlike the Mariners, who broke the all-time record or the modern record, and then lost in the ALCS, you're going all the way. Breaking the all-time record and winning the World Series.
Yes. Thank you.
That's called a pull it straight out of your ass prediction.
Yeah, that really is.
Tommy.
Mets fans, let's ride.
Oh, God.
All right, mine is going to be a lot more boring. I apologize. I have the New York Yankees winning 93 games, so slightly above you. They will win the American League East, and I have them losing in the divisional series. So flaming out just a tad early and losing in the DS. They will lose that division series
to the
Jacob
Houston?
DeGrom and the Texas Rangers.
Texas.
No, not Houston.
I was going to say, you're going to pull a tired trope.
No, I'm done with that because they're really not the same anymore.
Not
like last year when Sean argued that, I disagreed. They're really not. Like, Bregman being gone, Verlander being gone, it's
Altuve
the fight.
Playing left field.
Altuve's playing left field.
That is so bizarre.
It is.
Just like, seeing him out there is bizarre.
And he's not good at it, apparently.
Oh, he looks like he's a struggle.
Now, I'll make you this prediction. On opening day, he's going to make a diving catch. Of course. Like, I just feel it right now.
And hit two home runs.
Yeah, right. As far as the Mets are concerned, I think they're going to win 89 games. I think they will be the third wild card. And I actually have them getting back to the same spot they were last year. I think they're going to lose in the league championship series to the Atlanta Braves. So that's my official Met prediction. 89, last wild card spot, losing the LCS. Yankees, 93, win the division, lose in the division series. Doesn't that feel good?
It does.
And then we can see if we're right or not. I mean, we already know Tommy's not right.
I mean, how do you know I'm not right?
Loogie!
The Yankees can't make the World Series and win 90 games?
No, not that part.
Which part are you alluding to?
The Mets could set their franchise record for wins in a season.
Right. 120.
And still be 10 games away from the record you predicted them
for. Remember, the Yankees will forfeit several times in the Subway Series.
All right.
No mas.
For fun, this is for fun, for tomorrow. Which Yankee will hit the first home run of the season? Which Met will hit the first home run of the season? Do you want to go first or shall I? Or to Loogie?
Austin Wells.
Austin Wells?
You know what? First inning.
Wow.
I like it.
He's going to start all off. That would be pretty badass. Austin Wells hits the first home run for the Yankees, according to Tiki. What about the first Met to hit home run?
They got a catcher up here? Just throw this dude some fastballs.
Half the people in the ballpark are going to be like, what the hell is going on? Why is this guy leading off?
I know. I'm going to go Mark Vientos.
Oh. Okay.
His third at bat.
All right. Very specific. Tommy Lugau, the first Yankee home run this season will be?
Jazz Chisholm.
Okay. Chisholm!
Jazz Chisholm. Okay. Great article in The Athletic about Jazz Chisholm. Basically, the
fantastic
Miami Marlins organization and their players are a bunch of jackasses. Mm. That article, which I advise everybody read, helps prove a point I was making before the Yankees got him. I don't know if you remember me saying this.
I do.
Jazz Chisholm needs to come to New York, and he will become a star.
Right.
He needs that opportunity, and he will bust out. And he played really well last year. I know he didn't have the greatest playoff of all time, but he actually hit last year. Right. I'm expecting a big year out of Jazz.
Well, you remember, I saw him at the Cantor Fitzgerald Charity Day?
Yes.
And just randomly, hey, Jazz, it's nice to meet you. How you liking New York? Oh, I love it here, man. This place is great.
Yep.
I left that saying this guy's going to crush New York.
Yes.
You could just feel it.
I agree.
He feels, now according to the article, I know the words, free.
Yes, the Marlins were himself. Yeah. Basically, I'll give you one little snippet for those that didn't read it, but I advise everyone to read it. I think Chris Kirshner wrote it.
Yeah, the first anecdote is just ridiculously horrendous.
He's a rookie player who has a bunch of different really cool sneakers, cleat shoes.
Yeah, that he designs himself.
One of them was like designed, was it like an Oreo cookie or something like that?
Yeah, Oreos. He wore a pair of those last year. He also loves anime, including his favorite anime show. It's on Netflix if you want to watch it, Yankee fans, called Black Clover.
Okay.
About two boys that were abandoned by their families and they're looking for magic in order to, I don't know, dominate the
world.
And
this is anime?
This is anime. One of the kids has magic, the other kid does not.
Right.
But it ultimately ends up getting the Black Clover, which is a special kind of thing. So that's his favorite show.
So he had all these cleats, I guess is the right word, that were designed with this. And Miguel Rojas, that veteran jackass on the Marlins at the time, was like, who the hell is this kid? And cut it up. Another time, they just put milk in it and just ruined it. And Jazz, as a young player, took the approach. He probably took the right approach, which is, I didn't confront them. I just let it happen.
Right.
I just stayed to myself. I went into my own kind of cocoon there and didn't deal with it. But it just shows you that the problems that lock, but whatever.
It got bad enough that Don Mattingly had to call a meeting.
Yeah.
And say, lay off.
Yes. So I think Jazz being here, it just works. Anyhow, that was a long-winded story around Tommy's Yankee prediction. What about your Met prediction? First Met home run will be hit by?
Okay, this one's a little bit out on the limb because I'm not sure he's even going to be in the starting lineup tomorrow, but I just have a feeling about this guy, and it's a name we're going to have to dance around a little bit when we say it on the air for our listeners, and that is one Mr. Jose Siri.
Oh, okay.
I won't say anything after the name.
I wonder if he's going to start tomorrow.
Siri still exists, right?
Yes, it does. Hey, Siri.
No.
Crap.
Don't. No. Sorry.
If John Sterling was calling Met games this year, can you imagine? And then again, he'd have to have Siri explain to him. Like, what is this?
What is this, Siri? Why am I messing up everybody's phones?
Like drunks.
I, I, I'm going
apologize. I did not do that on purpose.
I'm going to disappoint you.
Can I say Alexa?
I'm going to disappoint you, but I'm going to give you the real answer. The first home run hit by a New York Yankee this season will be Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. And the first home run hit by a New York Met this year
Don't
will be
Juan Soto.
Juan Soto.
Stop, you homer.
Why?
Loser.
Well, me?
Yeah.
He had a home run last year in Houston to start a New York career.
Not loser. Chalker.
No, I'm going chalk, yes. No, I think in this regard, I am going chalk. Because I think what's going to happen this season, and this guy, Tommy's going to be a culprit in this. A lot of this season is going to be about comparing Soto and Judge. I do. They're two great players. They used to be teammates. I think that there is going to be stat comparisons, home run comparisons. Like, it's just going to be back and forth, Judge versus Soto. It'll be like which is kind of cool, the Mickey, Willie, and Duke of our era, for those that are aware. So I think it's going to be fun. Or even before my era, SBT about it, the Keith Hernandez versus Don Mattingly crap. I think Soto versus Judge is going to be a thing, and I really think that on opening day, they're both going to rise to the occasion. And then on the Lugauer, Tommy will explain that Juan Soto's home run traveled a little bit further than Judge's home run, and he's daddy.
Yeah, generational talent.
Juan Soto would have hit a homer to put the Mets in the lead. Aaron Judge will hit a home run when the Yankees are down 8-0. Call that an A-Rod.
Yeah. We call that an A-Rod.
Love it.
Met fans called that a Pete Alonso last year. let's go to Lorenzo in Keyport. How are you, Lorenzo?
Very important doubleheader in the NBA tonight for us, Brooklyn guys.
Oh, huge. Don't get me started about how big tonight is. Yes. It's a big tank night tonight. Washington, Philly, the Nets are playing the Raptors. It is a huge tank night. It's such a big night, Lorenzo. I'm taking my wife on a date night to Barclays Center. That's how big of a date night it is.
Well, can you take me to the bar when we have 5 picks in the first 35 next season?
Yes. Sounds like fun.
I'm going to hold you that. Kiki, if I'm Shane, and I'm going to play fantasy football here a little bit, but is there any way, or let me ask you, the 5th, 6th pick, the Jags and the Raiders,
right?
What's the value of that pick? And the reason why I ask is, can you just throw it all in and try and get both the 3rd pick and one of those 2 picks? Get Jackson Dart as your quarterback and get Abdul at the 3. I know, crazy.
Yeah, that would be really, really difficult. Mm. By the way, goodbye, SNY.
Bye, SNY. Baseball Night in New York presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's next on SNY.
So the value of the 5th and 6th pick, that's what he's talking about, just statistically is about the value of the 1st. That makes sense.
Hmm.
So it's all by points. And so they have this ranking system, a trade value chart. And you've heard people talk about this before. Like, what would it take to get from XYZ to XYZ?
Yeah.
So essentially, the 1st-round pick is 3,000 points, just to make it simple. And in order to get from whatever pick you are, say the Jets are at 1,500 points, a 7th pick is worth 1,500 points.
Right.
You'd have to find 1,500 other points with your picks just to go up to number one.
Mm.
Now, you could do that, you know, in multiple ways. Use this year's picks or use next year's picks. The values stay the same year over year. The problem is you'd be speculating on where you're picking next year. And so if you're going to say, oh, we'll give you our 1st-round pick this year and our 1st-round pick next year, if your team is really, you think it's going to be good, then you're going to have to add something else.
Right.
Because that next year's pick could be worth 700 points and not you'd be 800 points short.
I wonder.
And so there's a lot of maneuvering and speculation. I think it comes down to math and analytics.
Right.
Like, what does this pick do for your success potential this season, therefore affecting where you're going to draft next year? That's why it's so hard for trades to happen for drafts.
Right.
Because there's too many things. It's not just, hey, give us this guy, you give us this guy, or you give me your pick, I'll give you. They calculate it. There's a value.
I wonder if teams would view a future Giant first and say, you know what, the schedule's brutal.
Yeah.
I don't know how good the team is.
Yeah, probably.
That's a very valuable first round pick.
Their next year's pick will probably go for a premium.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I think teams see it.
Absolutely.
GMs would look at it and say that has a chance to be a really good pick.